Hello and welcome to another episode of The Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Today, we're talking about pastoral sabbaticals.
Really?
We are? Why not?
Holy cow.
Why not?
Dusty just took one.
Let's do it.
Dusty
Let's talk about
back
it.
From sabbatical. I'm getting ready to go on one in November.
Yeah. You are.
Here's why I want to talk about this, because I do think I want the average listener to value and appreciate the importance of why this is an important rhythm for pastors. And the feeling I have is, well, here's the pushback. Is like, well, Dusty, I don't get a sabbatical at my job. You know, like I'm a banker or I'm a construction worker or I'm a teacher. And guess what?
I don't get a
sabbatical. Must be nice. And so, you know, what's the... Why this practice and what does it, why is pastoral ministry something that needs this kind of practice uniquely? And what are the benefits and some of the challenges of it? So let's describe what we mean by sabbatical. So every 7 years, our policy at Coram Deo is every 7 years, we give staff pastors 2 to 3 month sabbatical. And so that is sort of a 7 year rhythm. This is sort of a standard practice among both academics, so like professors, that world grants this kind of sabbatical frequently, and so do many ministry contexts, so pastors. And, you know, again, I realize that not everybody gets a sabbatical every 7 years, and so let's talk about the why behind this. Why is it important? Why is it significant? Why is it a practice that you should appreciate and welcome? Rather than something you should be skeptical of and say, well, man, how come my pastor's gone for 3 months? That seems kind of like a luxury, Dusty.
Yeah. It's like a long country club visit.
Yeah, like, like you've been playing golf for 3 months or what?
Sitting at the beach.
Yeah. All kidding aside, though, I do think there was many times, especially this time on sabbatical, I've taken two now, where I was like overwhelmed with gratitude because of that reality that you're saying, right? Like, the uniquenesses of ministry maybe grant a sabbatical, and so I'm really grateful for it. But I realize that it's not the everyday, it's not real to most vocations, right? And so I was just overwhelmed with the gratitude towards Coram Deo Church for particularly this last sabbatical that we had. But to reemphasize what you're saying, it's not an extended vacation.
Really?
There is some vacating involved, because I do think you have to get out of your physical space, and you do need to get out of your normal rhythms to really make the most of a sabbatical. But really, what you're doing is you're recalibrating spiritually. You're resting, you're recalibrating, so that you can come back into your church context more refreshed and with new vision and better leadership. So there's some vacating involved. We did go to different places. We drove around. We didn't really get out of the Midwest, but we stitched it up pretty good from the South to the North. So
for the listener who's skeptical of the practice, let me remind you, if you've been in a church with consistent leadership over time, you may not realize how unusual that is. The average length of a pastorate, how long someone serves in a particular role at a church, is 4 years. So if you've had the same pastor for more than 4 years, you're above average in terms of the longevity of that pastoral leadership. For that reason, because there's so much turnover and because there's a lot of pastors who burn out, flame out, lose their faith, as we talked about a few weeks ago on the podcast, this practice has become a widely understood sort of industry practice, if you want to call it that, a sort of best practice for pastoring for the sake of longevity in ministry. Now, I know that guys from the older generation are like, well, I've been in ministry 30 years and I never took a sabbatical. I've heard that from at least a few pastors.
I'm like, didn't your uncle at the, there was an Acts 29 thing, said, I didn't take one.
Never took a sabbatical?
Because you are a manly man.
Yeah, because you're a beast.
Yes.
You're amazing.
Yeah, you're better than me.
But so this is the part of the podcast where we get to sort of let people in a little bit to some of the spiritual struggles and challenges of pastoral ministry. They're not unique to pastoring, I don't think, but in a way they are, meaning other people helping kinds of professions. If you're a social worker, you're a counselor, you're familiar with these same things. Pastoring sort of ramps them up even more. And that is the hard thing to explain to people, Dusty, is pastoring doesn't have an off switch.
Yeah.
Like there, even when you have a day off or a vacation, you are still a pastor. And there are likely seasons of your life in ministry where you actually can't even go on a vacation. One of my biggest memories is when I was 14 years old, we took a family reunion trip up to Canada. So it was like a long vacation. We were going to be gone like 2 weeks. It was this big family reunion, all my extended family from all over the United States and Canada. So, you know, 100 people getting together. And in the middle of that trip, my dad had to fly home because the choir director had an affair. And things were blowing up and he had to go sort that out. And so I remember like driving back from Canada with just my mom and my brother and I, because dad had had to leave in the middle of vacation. Mm-hmm. Now that things that dramatic don't happen every single day, but the reality of pastoring is that you are carrying on a regular basis the burdens and concerns of an entire flock of people. And it's hard to describe for people the things that the weariness that creates in your soul over time for that to just always be there. Mm-hmm. And for it to sort of like never go away. And so there are practices, you know, pastors need to have good rhythms of Sabbath and shutting off and going on, you know, having a day or two where you don't check your email and you're not answering your phone and that kind of thing. And you're just, you have a healthy rhythm of work and rest. But the reason that sabbaticals are a unique and important discipline is because a pastor does need permission every 7 years to unplug from that reality and sort of allow all of that to reset, because the spiritual weight of that and the things it can do to your soul are kind of funky. And I don't quite know how to describe that for listeners in a way that's helpful. You know, there's a lot of stories I can't tell on the podcast because obviously they're sensitive, but there's a lot of weight that you're carrying about things going on in a lot of people's lives who, the weight of that over time has a way of just creating a weariness of soul. And you know, unplugging for a week and going on vacation is a great thing. Unplugging for a week and celebrating Christmas with your family is a great thing. But only unplugging for an extended period of time sort of allows your soul to reset and recalibrate, Dusty, is a good way of putting it. It's the difference between, allowing you, like, sleeping at night and, like, going through a real serious, you know, sort of, like, physical rehabilitation program, right? One just lets your body recuperate from the work you just did in the day. One is a little more of a long-term, like, hey, let's hit reset on the sort of way my body and soul are responding to the work I do.
Yeah. You put it well when you say that pastors are caring a lot more than we think, right? And then I would also say that rest does a lot more than we would think too. And that's the first and biggest learning I had this sabbatical.
You came back and said getting more sleep actually helps, which was an amazing takeaway.
My biggest learning was I need more sleep than I think. And I also had a sabbatical coach kind of working me through this last couple months. And he had just read a bunch of stuff on sleep. And that's why we hired him, because he's smarter than me. And he basically reads all the books. He reads all the books you want to be reading. So then you're like, okay, tell me more. I love those kind of people. You guys are kind of those people too. So he said, we don't make up sleep, we just lose it. So the power nap thing, it's all a myth. Like you don't make up your sleep, you just lose sleep. So I was explaining to him, like, it's amazing what your body can start doing and how your creativity can come alive, and when you're not fatigued, your mind is ridiculously clear. So one of my biggest learnings was I need more sleep than I'm willing to admit. I was probably operating on about six to seven hours of sleep. And when you get 8 hours of sleep for a couple weeks in a row, you're like, whoa, I could change the world right now.
You're a different person.
But then what that does to your soul is you start being open to the Lord in a bunch of ways, where you start hearing from the Lord differently. You just feel refreshed. So that you're able to recalibrate. So I just think it's important to say, don't devalue rest. And especially if you're not in this church or First City Church and you're in a different context, think about what rest can do for your leaders and how you can try to figure out how to bring it about them.
And so kind of along the lines of that, I haven't gone on a sabbatical yet, hoping, Lord willing, two summers from now. But as I've heard you guys and other pastors talk about sabbatical, there's the work part, the work, the soul work part. I have 3 months now to
deal with your own
deal
demons.
With my own stuff.
Oh man.
And in some ways that's where you almost want to say, no, you actually don't want a sabbatical, because all that stuff you've been kind of stiff arming for years and years is going to come flooding in, and it's giving you space to actually deal with it. So talk about that piece that maybe people don't realize or understand that also takes place on a sabbatical, is you're doing some deep soul work, and some of that's scary and hard, and really that part of that recalibration is work, soul kind of work. So yeah, talk about the importance of that piece on a sabbatical.
Yeah. So that blindsided me this sabbatical. I'd like to say that I was, you know, ready and aware of it. And I had been praying towards it. I'm 39, I'm about to be 40. I was asking the Lord, hey, you know, kind of give me a vision for the next decade. Well, he did. but it kind of, there was some like consternation for a couple weeks. Again, it's because it came out of a rested spot. So the point of the sabbatical is to interrupt your tiredness. It's to interrupt your preoccupation. You go from being tired to being rested. You go from being preoccupied to being present. And when you're present and there's nobody else's issues in the church in front of you, well, the Lord taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, let's chat. And so that's where kind of that soul work started to come from. That process, there's a couple of key things. You have to have other voices into your soul as a leader. So I had a couple friends that I was able to talk to through sabbatical. I had a sabbatical coach coaching me through the actual practice of the sabbatical. And I had my wife and family right in front of me, you know. So some of those things helped the soul process. It helped me say, it helped basically create accountability for what's the Lord doing in you? Nobody else, right? One of those things was I could not get out of Psalm 18 every day for probably 20 some days. I just read Psalm 18 over and over and over. I just kept coming back to it. So the sabbatical allowed me to just kind of sit in a certain scripture. I didn't have to prepare anything. I didn't have to preach on anything. I didn't have to teach a seminar on anything. So scripture came alive in a new way. Journaling came alive in a new way. But probably more importantly was the disconnect from always thinking intellectually about stuff and always trying to cognitively think about things, to getting in touch more with like my body and my senses. And I don't say that in a weird way. It sounds a little mystical, but prayer walking, praying with my hands open, just being with the Lord and not wondering, oh, what's the Lord want me to think about? But more just, oh, actually being with the Lord is good enough, because you have the time and the space to do that. So
here's another thing that people need to embrace about what's unique about pastoral ministry. It's one of the only professions, perhaps the only profession, where the qualification for the profession is a healthy soul.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to get heart surgery, you don't care whether your surgeon's soul is healthy. You just want to know he's good at cutting on hearts, right? Like you're just like, give me the guy who knows what he's doing with hearts. You don't care how that guy's marriage is. You don't care how his kids are. You just want the right person. Same thing if you're hiring a contractor to finish your bathroom. You know, that guy might have all kinds of issues in his personal life. You just want to know, is he going to do a good job on my bathroom? In pastoring, the qualifications the Bible lays out are this person has to have a healthy soul, a healthy heart, a healthy life. And for that reason, for churches that really want long-term health in their leaders, this practice is essential because you're giving pastors and leaders space to do that heart work and to remain healthy before the Lord, because there is a way, just like any profession, right, where you can get into the grind of like, well, here's what has to happen this week, and here's all the things I have to be responsible for, here's all the people issues I'm dealing with, that can just become stuff you're reacting to. That does, I'm not suggesting that you have to have a sabbatical in order to stay healthy, because I don't think that's true. But I think as a practice, it is a way to say, there's what we want is soul health in our leaders. And so we want to prioritize that. We want to give space, time, and opportunity for that, because that's actually what matters here. Mm-hmm. And what happens with a lot, I mean, you know, going back to the podcast we did a few weeks ago, what happens to a lot of pastors, and I can speak to this personally because I feel this sometimes, not because anybody wants me to feel this, right? I'm not putting it on other people, but I'm just saying you can feel used up by people because people want stuff from me. They want you to preach a sermon. They want you to teach this. They want you to help them solve this problem and counsel them in this way. And so none of those demands are illegitimate, but it can start to feel like, man, everybody has demands on me. Everybody wants something from me. And so the ability to step back and go, I can be in a season where no one wants anything from me. Mm-hmm. I just can be before the Lord. And then I can come back into that season, not resenting the fact that people want stuff from me, but ready to overflow and give and serve. And, you know, there's something about that rhythm. And I think that 7-year rhythm, there's something to that, you know, biblically, of just that, allowing that refresh and restart that really helps with long-term faithfulness in ministry over time.
Yeah. Yeah. We often say that the pastoral role is a physician of souls, right? And so a sabbatical is just one tool to tend to your own soul in a long-term way. And the Lord will use it. And then the reentry piece, Bob, like you're talking about the demands and stuff, and that's true. And it's interesting to get away from that and then re-enter with a lot of joy and anticipation. So you're doing it, you're going away for your own soul's sake, but you're also doing it for the church's sake, right? And so that I can kind of get, I think Mark Sayer's book, Facing Leviathan, he says a leader has to get far enough away from the anxieties of an institution to see what the institution needs. I'm butchering that comment or that quote, but that's essentially what the book is getting at in a certain section. And I read that book in one day as a rested pastor, and I thought, this is actually my sabbatical right here. Like, I'm far enough away from the church to see how I can contribute, right? And so if you think about following your pastor, wanting your pastor's counsel and wisdom and thoughts, you want that to be a healthy guy, right? When it comes to his soul, you don't want a depleted, worn out, grumpy guy. And yes, of course, we should be able to do this throughout the weekends, and we should be able to do this when ministry season is a little different. We can't just wait every 7 years to get healthy. But that extended time is a huge gift. So, even as I come back in, you know, I'm thinking about, okay, what, as I re-enter, what is this church looking like right now? How can I contribute? Who are the people that need me? Who are the people that don't need me? And how do I pick up certain rhythms that I left off? What rhythms should I not pick up? How can we lead this church into this next season together, and how can I contribute in that? And so it's a ton of joy to re-enter with fresh eyes and a fresh heart and new joy and new bounce in my step, you know? And it's really interesting to come back during this season, right? Like, we just moved into this building. I come back and everybody's tired.
Church building.
Everybody's tired. I'm like, what are you guys all tired for?
Dusty, like, coming back was like a shot in the arm for the rest of the staff, because we were all just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, we've talked a lot about the pragmatics, but while you were talking, I was looking on my laptop for this quote from Richard Baxter, the old Puritan, because I think there's also, it's important for people to understand the spiritual battle component of pastoring. Here's what Richard Baxter said to pastors. The tempter will make his first and sharpest attack on you. He has long practiced fighting, neither against great nor small comparatively, but against the shepherds, that he might scatter the flock. Take heed then, for the enemy has a special eye on you. you are sure to have his most subtle insinuations, incessant solicitations, and violent assaults. So there is this reality that if we believe in spiritual battle, we believe that we have a spiritual enemy. There's a sort of like pastoring puts a bullseye in your chest mm-hmm. for spiritual warfare. And there is a sense in which a sabbatical allows a little bit of a reset to that and the ability to step back and go, okay, man, how do I get out of the battle long enough mm-hmm. that I can sort of like, again, recuperate, get healed up from whatever mm-hmm. wounds I'm carrying or whatever places where I've sort of felt that battle pressing so that I can get back in and shepherd the flock in the ways the Lord wants me to. So I think in addition to sort of some of the energy realities and the vocational realities, there's also this spiritual dynamic that's important to talk about because it really is a way that Satan destroys the mission of God is to take pastors out and to to attack them in all kinds of ways. And a lot of that, I mean, people always ask me like, what does that spiritual warfare feel like? And it's not, I don't have like demons dancing around in my room or anything like that. But oftentimes, here's the two ways it takes shape most often for me is one is just discouragement, just like deep discouragement of just like, what I do doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right? That'll happen to me on Saturday nights. I'll just have this huge bout of like, why am I even bothering to preach? No one listens, you know? And none of that's true. Like but that's what I'm saying is it's this spiritual attack that comes at mm-hmm. me of, you know, this doesn't matter. But so discouragement and then also just dissension and like conflict and mm-hmm. church members with weird issues that they, you know, they just want to sort of attack or people who get offended about something and aren't willing to resolve it. So those two places, pastors experience that enough, that kind of discouragement and dissension. And those are tools the enemy uses to just sort of like chip away at your soul and discourage you and defeat you. And so again, sabbatical is a chance to step away from that and sort of some of the soul work, Chris, is just acknowledging where has that happened? Like where have I fallen victim to just attacks of discouragement or despair or conflict or people being angry with me mm-hmm. or, you know, relationships that I really treasured that have fallen apart because of some weird conflict or some mm-hmm. issue that I didn't see coming. And being able to sort of seek the Lord in those places and experience healing.
Yeah. Even it's interesting that you say that because when you're going through some tough situations in the church as a leader, you know that it's kind of taking a chink on your armor, you know, or, but you have to keep leading and you have to keep going. And I remember sitting by this pool in Texas and I had this flood of just like three or four memories over the last six years. And I thought, wow, those really took it out of me. Hmm. Like this, and this. It was funny because I could just like, it was like bullet points. And I was like, when you get far enough away, you can go, that messed with me. Hmm. Okay, Lord, now what? How are you going to recalibrate that and get me kind of back in the game? And that's happening all the time, right? So, it's a beautiful gift to be granted a sabbatical. And I really want to encourage churches, and that's why we're doing this, right? That's why we're spending a whole episode on this, because if you're a listener in a different context, man, we really want you to be encouraged to start thinking about sabbatical policies and that just involve rest, that don't involve production.
Right.
Like book writing or research, which those aren't bad things, but just rest and recalibration.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're in a church that doesn't have this, start thinking about how can you make this happen. If you're in a church that does have this or does do this, I hope that this changes how you think about that and helps you to welcome the importance of that for the sake of the leaders, shepherds who are shepherding your flock, and for the sake of just long-term healthy ministry. So hope this has been helpful. I know that it is interesting to talk about something that it feels like you know, applies in a lot of different ways to a lot of different listeners. Some of you are pastors, and so you're like, oh, I need a sabbatical. Some of you are church members who are skeptical of sabbaticals, and some of you are church leaders who need to figure out a way to create a policy for this. So however and wherever this podcast hits you, I hope it's helpful to hear us talk about some of the realities of it and why it's a really valuable practice.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We love to hear from our listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.